I want to do something a little different this morning, especially a lot different from what I did last evening. Anybody besides Paul here last night? Well, Paul, you get a whole new sermon. You know, I was in the middle of giving that sermon last night. It's okay, the gospel was preached. I looked out and I thought, holy cow, I'm going to have to wake these people up to give them communion. It was a little dry, all right? But I think I'm going to get us there in a different way, but I heard my advisor Ralph Smith speaking to me as I went home last night. If you know the sermon isn't quite right and it's Saturday night, get up and get to work. So that's what we did. So let's go at this, and I'm going to ask you a series of questions. So this is not going to be just me. We're going to have a series of questions, and you're going to need your pew Bibles, page 3 in the New Testament, to refer back to this text just a little bit. Let's see if we can't get somewhere together and to see if we can explore this text in such a way as to reach the wonder and the beauty of this gospel text. All right? So let's begin. May the Holy Spirit be with us. There's so much in here that let's see where the Holy Spirit takes us. Number one, what makes this an appropriate time for Jesus to go to the wilderness, to have the very first Lent, as it were? What makes this an appropriate time? That's kind of been a theme that's been sticking with me throughout Lent. Now is an appropriate time. It's what we'll say at the end of our worship this day. What makes this point in Jesus' life an appropriate time? Well, to get the answer to that, turn back a page, or a chapter at least, and go to chapter 3. Jesus was just what? He was just baptized. Page 3 in the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 1. Yes. All right. Okay. So Jesus was just baptized. And after his baptism, let's go to his baptism. What took place during his baptism that was so wonderful? Who shows up? In what form? The Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. Now, in Matthew's gospel, that dove has feathers. I mean, it's kind of a real thing. But in the reality of things, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, had come into this baptism. Now, I want you to think about your own baptism or what we say at that font. Who is with us in our baptism? I baptize you in the name of the, and the, and you are sealed by the, and marked, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and marked with the cross of Christ forever. All right? So Jesus has just had his baptism, and, you know, we've only finished 3 chapters in Matthew, right? He went from birth to being a full-grown adult in 3 short chapters in Matthew. And now it's time for him to do what God is putting into his life and to answer the call. But before he does that, he is taken into the... Who leads him there? Chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit. Well, in the wilderness, what is it that Jesus does? Happens right away. He fasts. The children got the answer. He fasts for 40 days. For 40 days, Jesus denies himself of earthly things. Mainly, it's a time to stay away from too much eating. Now, I don't think any of us can probably go 40 days, but we can probably go a few, all right? And if nothing else, this is a check on our idolatry of food when it overtakes us in ways that we know are not healthy. All right? So I want us to think about that and how maybe we could, you know, avoid the extra cookie and say a prayer, you know. Or it's the whole focus on his relationship with God the Father. Now, right away, the 40 days comes to a completion very quickly in the 4th chapter of Matthew. And those 40 days in. So what's the reality? Famished, very hungry, all right? And along comes what? All right? The serpent, you can hear the voice of the serpent again that we heard from our first lesson today. All right? So we have the tempter. The tempter comes, Satan, the tempter, a voice away from God, a voice different from God, turning us from God. All right? Now, we have that same situation in our own lives, don't we? Turning us away from God. So in this exchange with the tempter, I want us to look and see what stands out to you. It's really kind of verses 4 and 5. What stands out to you in that? What's being bannered around? What's being pushed back and forth between Satan and Jesus? Not bread. Scripture. Satan starts spouting him Scripture. So it speaks to us, I think, to realize that we can be led astray by all kinds of ways. All right? And the temptation is to use Scripture in such a way that isn't healthy for building up the kingdom or for answering God's call. And I think if we think about it, we know those voices that happen in this world. So how does Jesus respond? Also with Scripture and faith, a faith that will guide him through these temptations and through his life. So first, Jesus is tempted by food, right? Pleasure, food, goodness. Second temptation is what? Yeah, to do the things that would give him glory, to be used for his own purpose, to self-aggrandize himself. Jesus is tempted to worship evil eventually. We'll skip to the next temptation. What's that next temptation? Verses 8 and 9. What's that? I can't hear you. You got to speak loud. I'm old. Riches, right. Yeah. Again, as Jesus is tempted. If you will, he's first taken to the pinnacle of the temple. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they'll bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus says, don't put your Lord, your God, to the test. Then he takes him to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. He says, all these I'll give to you if you fall down and worship me. It's a story, I think, that if we think about it, we're familiar with. What is Jesus being tempted to do? Yeah. Well, in Star Wars vernacular, go to the dark side, right? Separate oneself from the good. To go away from God. If there's a hell, it would have to be, and it is for me, I'll claim, a separation from the love of God. Away from God. We call Satan the prince of darkness, right? A dark and empty place. Away from the light and the love and the glory of God. All right? And I want us to think about people in our world who fall victim to this temptation. We deal with them on a daily time in our lives, I think, sometimes. And we also deal with them on a grand scale of things. Those people, or those groups of people perhaps, that seek only self-aggrandizement. I am the best. What I think is right. I must be right. And to claim it all as somehow being close to God is a serious, serious temptation. All right, so we get through the temptation, and what does Jesus say? Away with you, Satan. Away with you, Satan. Jesus forgoes the false promises of his glory for this life only, and Jesus relies on his faith to lead him through the temptations. Now, later on in Jesus' life, he's going to teach a prayer. Let's say it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. This Lenten time leads Jesus to God's will for God's people. In his wilderness time, his Lenten time, what happens in the end? Who waits on Jesus? Angels. Angels wait on Jesus. I want us to think about how you and I have Lenten times in our own lives. Who is with you? Who is with you? God. Well, we talked about it at the very beginning. I'm going to use Mark here because he's got a perfect forehead. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Just as was with God, just as was with Jesus in his Lenten trials and temptations, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes to him just as it was in his baptism, and angels wait on him. So could the Lenten journey of Jesus' time represent the whole? I want us to consider this. Listen to this question. I know it's getting late and you're all falling asleep again. Could it represent the whole of our lives? From baptism to the end. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. And in faith, who shall wait on us as we forego this world and enter into the next? We profess Christ and Christ's holy angels shall come to us. Verse 11. Jesus' Lenten journey, Jesus' wilderness time, leads him to his ministry, and it leads us then to salvation. So yes, now is the acceptable time for us to do Lent. Now is the acceptable time for us to receive the gift given to us in our baptism. One last question. Amen? You're supposed to respond to amen. I know you're Lutheran, but amen?
Amen.
Amen.